That is not anything that the stinking work of the seducing spirits that God warns us about would be abundant in the end time to destroy the effect of the Holy Ghost in bringing about the unity of the Spirit to create the unity of faith in God's Word and make us strong in the bond of peace that would cause us to be the acknowledged and the manifest sons of God that we, according to Philippians 2, beginning in verse 12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Praise God. There's something more than just trying to get along with each other. Trying to get along with each other is not enough. We have to endeavor to get along with each other. And there's ways and means that God has put at our disposal when the Spirit is present and satisfied with our endeavoring to keep the bond of peace in our midst. Then the same Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T in Ephesians 4 and 3, is going to also work mightily to bring us and keep us in the unity of the Spirit and keep us also till we come to the unity of the faith, verse 13. That's part and parcel of the whole operation of the Spirit of God, and it is the desire and the endeavor of a man of God to see that these things are implemented and effected among the people of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, it's got to start right back down to the foundation of our faith. I think Jesus laid the foundation of our faith to have the unity of the Spirit and keep it in the bond of peace in Matthew 7 and 12. And Jesus said, therefore, what things soever you would that men should do to you, do you even also unto them. That's what we call the golden rule. And he said, this is the law and the prophets. And to put it in its simplest terms that children understand it, it's on a lot of rulers you get when you start the grammar school. And it simply says this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now that is the law and the prophets. People want to argue about it, say the Old Testament didn't have grace and didn't have mercy and didn't have compassion and all of that. Well, it certainly did. Jesus summed it down in a nutshell and said, the way you want people to treat you in that condition that you're dissatisfied with, or you're being oppressed by, the way that you want people to treat you if you were there, then if you get your brother or sister there, you treat them the same way that you'd like to be treated. And this is the law and the prophets. Another thing, it certainly begins when we have trouble, when we have dissension, when we have strife, when there's discord. There's ways to settle that thing without going to court, as Jesus said, and as the apostles also said. In James 5:16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. That'd be a good place to start settling some of our dissensions and strife and murmurings, complainings, and all of this old, hard feelings that arise because that somebody's not treating you or not understanding things the way they really are. There's a way to correct those things in the body of Christ. And we must correct them in the same way that the Bible tells us they must be corrected. Not the way we want them corrected, but the way God says they should be corrected concerning the order for the saints in the church. There's an order for saints, and there's a way the world settles things. Now, James, to make it kind of clear to us that we to be different, in James, the third chapter, verse 13, he said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For that wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. You mean to tell me I'm not going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and cut out this stinking mess like that? Well, of course I am. I'd be like Jehu when he got them prophets of Baal hemmed up, cut heads off. Come on here, let's cut them off. Hey, you got 70 sons of Ahab in that city. If you don't throw their heads over this wall, I'm going to cut your head off. Well, of course I will. Let somebody get in here and raise the devil and create confusion and every evil work because they're envying and strife. No way. That wisdom is not from above. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's peaceable. My God, have mercy. When people's got the wisdom of God, you can keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But you've got to have that peace in your heart. Colossians 3 and 12, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How are you going to keep peace when somebody's not, is disturbing the peace and breaking the peace? Now, you had to cut somebody's head off. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable. Now, I'm talking about spiritually. I'm not talking about taking anybody to the guillotine, cutting off that head of foolishness. Praise God. The wisdom from above is gentle. The wisdom from God is easy to be entreated. The wisdom of God is full of mercy and good fruits. The wisdom of God is without partiality. The wisdom of God is without hypocrisy. In verse 18, James 3 says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You got to make some folks behave themselves. Did you know that? You got to make it. Rule them with a rod of iron. My God, some people don't want peace. They don't care how much devil they stir up. Too many Christians is like a guy I once saw cause a terrible wreck. That guy caused two cars to run together and have a terrible wreck. Up in Washington there, I was up there with Robbie Claude, our policeman friend. And the fella that caused the wreck, he went tiki-tiki-tiki right on down the road. They never did catch him. They tried their best to find out where that guy went. They couldn't catch him. He went, got in there and foolishly caused a wreck. And then he goes, chuggy, 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 right on off down the road. There they are all bloodied up, and their cars smashed, their families injured. Sirens are screaming, traffic blocked, and all kind of problems encountered. And the fella that caused it, what did I do? That's the way a lot of Christians are. They pop their mouths and then turn around. What did I do? They stir the devil up and then they go off and leave it. And somebody else got to handle the stinking mess. And I tell you, I don't have no appreciation for that junk. That's the one that ought to be hung or whatever, supposed hanged or whatever's supposed to be done. Somebody that causes it. God have mercy sakes, the trouble. James 4 and 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust that war against your members? Sure they do. You have things in the church, and I'm not throwing stones, and I'm not pointing no fingers this morning. This is going on cassette, and I hope it'll reach thousands of people who need to know how to get along with their fellow Christian. They need to know how to be a peacemaker instead of a troublemaker. That's what most Christians are really troublemakers. They use that tongue and stir up the, as James says in this same chapter, verse 6, 5 and 6. The tongue is a little member. Behold how great, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it setteth on fire of hell. In verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Then you read some more there. It's just as terrible in the denunciation of the illicit use of the tongue that is filled with deadly poison. It can stir up hell among God's people. And then somebody's going to be just about kills them trying to effect peace and bring peace out of that evil work and confusion that God said results. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And it's a tongue. And it's not one of them tongues that's spouting out and using God's name in vain and four-letter words that's doing it either. It's these little tongues that speak so innocently and so softly. God, have mercy sakes. Let me give you one warning here before proceeding further with this about how to correct these things. In Matthew 5:21, the Lord gave us some very straight direction here about these things we encounter as Christians with our fellow man, brother and sister, or even the preacher. Praise God, this applies to everybody in the body.